Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, we had a fantastic week over here on a due time with Pastor Steph, and we started shaking the Monday morning blues with our due time crew, and we talked about emotional blackmail. Yeah, we've kind of talked about this before. We just didn't call it, or it wasn't called at the moment, emotional blackmail. And pretty much, emotional blackmail is when your partner acts in a certain way to do things that will get you to be emotionally moved to do things that they want you to do. Yeah. Oh, yeah, see, I told you we talked about this before, but now, you know, they've put a new spin on it, and they call it emotional blackmail. But when you think about it, it actually is emotional blackmail. When they threaten to, you know, do little things and shout you out in the public. Oh, yeah, we talked about that one. And we talked about the fact that they want your attention all the time. So they'll do little things or big things to get you to, you know, focus all your attention on them. And, you know, our due time crew talked about how they stare at you from across the table at times. Yep. Think about all the little things people do to emotionally blackmail you. Now, we talk about this in an intimate, you know, arena. But in actuality, you know, domestic abuse comes all over the place. You know, it could be siblings, it could be parents, it could, you know, could be other members of your family. Yeah, you know, a lot of that molestation takes place from other members of that family, and they do a job on you. They do a really big job on you. Yes. So, you know, check that emotional blackmail and make sure not only that you are not being emotionally blackmailed, but make sure that someone is not, you're not blackmailing someone else. Yeah, that's the other thing. Okay? All righty. And, you know, we could not end the morning on a Monday with anything else other than the switch tip with Shantice and do right with your time. Oh, I mean, such a big one. Even when I say it now, it is such a big thing. Yeah. Really, really, really a big thing. And, you know, you want to make sure that the time that God gives you you're really utilizing it the right way. Yeah. Don't blow it. Don't blow it. Because you can get your money back, but you surely can't get your time back. Yes. Okay, so make sure you're doing whatever it is that you need to do so you can, you know, do right with your time. And you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Okay? All righty. Well, Tuesday rolls around. Let's talk about it. Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And we talk about the human sacrifices that took place out in Montego Bay, Jamaica, by Your Excellency spearheading this, Dr. Kevin O. Smith. And, you know, he got to his people, his congregants, on a Sunday Facebook post and told everybody, all right, when you come in tonight, there's going to be this incoming flood, and make sure, you know, your cell phones don't get no water damage by not bringing them. Yes. And, you know, everybody pretty much kept to the instruction, except for one woman. We definitely know one woman didn't, and thank God she didn't, because as she was standing there watching the service go on, she said all she knew was a woman's throat was slashed right in front of her, and when she saw the young lady fall, that was it for her. She took the running amongst some other people, which created such a level of chaos, and she called the cops. Ooh, baby. Yeah, well, this ritual, thank God, did not go down for very long, but unfortunately, without claiming another life, and when the cops came, another life, unfortunately, you know, was interrupted, and yeah, they stopped the heavenly journey. Yes, that's what they called it. They called it that they were all going on a heavenly journey. And thank God for that cell phone. And, yeah, that got us talking about the things that we, you know, we go for in church when we don't check our Bibles. Yes. You know, God gave you an opportunity to do your own checks and balances. So make sure you get it done, not just on Tuesday when we talked about it, but every single time when you are getting a word, quote unquote, from somebody, you want to make sure that that's double checked by the word of God. Come on, don't fall for the okie doke if you don't have to. Come on. And God says we don't have to. There will be a whole lot of wolves in sheep clothing. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Well, here's how this went down. Well, Montego Bay or no other location will be dealing with Sir Excellency Dr. Kevin O. Smith, because he is now deceased. Yeah, he never even made it to the court proceedings. Yep, on his way, he met with a tragic car accident that canceled out his life. Now, you tell me God ain't on his job. Now, I know that don't sound too good. But you know what? God ain't going to be taking this stuff. Oh, I mean, it's just enough is enough of you doing his people like this. So, you know, if you happen to fall for the okey-doke, don't think God ain't got a back plan. Yeah, because you know what? For you to do something like that, you were pretty much dastardly. And God is just not dealing with all of this stuff anymore. Yeah, and we're seeing this across the board. Not death, but just God dealing with stuff. And unfortunately, and I do say unfortunately, because it would have been nice for him to go to jail. Oh, yeah, and spend the rest of his life there in a special kind of jail. See, that we got to get to that one day. We're going to design a special jail, and maybe somebody might hear the broadcast. And, yeah, because, see, death sometimes is just a little too easy. Yeah, but you know what? Listen, God says I'm closing his eyes, and that's what happened. So for those of you who said he should have died, well, that's what kind of happened. All right? So we rolled around to Wow Wednesday. And Wow Wednesday is what it was. And we had a nice little conversation. Yeah, well, it started off with Vivian and her socially conscious segment, and she talked about the dads on duty. I really like to talk about that one because, you know, we're always blasting the dads, and we don't do a lot to, you know, recognize the great stuff that he does. And look at what we got. We got out in Shreveport, Louisiana, I believe it is. Yep, I remember them checking me yesterday. Yeah, 23 dads on duty in school, and they are there to make sure that the young people do what they're supposed to do or don't do what they're not supposed to do. And they have made a difference because guess what? The fighting and all the extra activity that's not supposed to be going down has really decreased. So let's, you know, give God a, you know, a hand clap and a shout and shout the men out for doing such a wonderful job to make sure that they're on the premises, not only in the home, but in the school. So, you know, we really want to give God thanks for the men in the house in Louisiana. Well, we also talked about the fact that you better start shopping now for your Thanksgiving dinner. Yes, it is now October 29th, so make sure you get that early Thanksgiving shopping going. Yes, buy those little things right now, even if it's not on sale, because what's going to happen is that all those prices are going to go up. Yes, it has already been projected. I've been seeing this for a few weeks now that they're anticipating that the Thanksgiving dinner will skyrocket. Yes. Yes, it shall. So you want to make sure, you know, if you celebrate, you want to get that food that on deck and make sure you get it, you know, for a nice reasonable as it can possibly get. And yeah, and what's wrong with buying a no-name brand? Yeah, well, go listen, buy the no-name brand. By the time you finish dolling it up, ain't nobody going to know no different. Trust me when I tell you. If you know how to cook, listen, you know how many times I done told people, you know, guess what this is? This ain't what you thought it was. Somebody told me they only eat Green Giant, and somebody else told me they only eat Hellman's mayonnaise. Yeah, well, by the time I got finished, they were licking their fingers, and I was letting them know that was not Hellman's and that was not Green Giant. So, listen, you're only buying the label. So, come on. Get smart and get wise and get to cooking early and doing what you got to do to save them bucks, okay? Well, we had the women of worship come through, and we had a wonderful conversation with them as we talked about the vision, your individual vision that make up the big vision in your life and in God's kingdom. And it starts with the vision of helping others. Yes, you can't get no vision, no huge vision completed without helping others and being future focused. And the ladies gave us a wonderful launch into that. Yes, we will continue that conversation, God spares, on next week Wednesday. We had our friend Dwayne come through with the techie talk, and we closed down Wednesday with our faith over fear segment with Pastor Sharlin. So we give God thanks for going out with a bang on Wednesday, as we always do. And that rolled us right into Thursday. Yep. Therapeutic Thursday. Yeah, Thursday was crazy as we talked about those lap dances that are taking place at the, the homecoming. Yeah, them kids are just losing their ever-loving little minds, and along with the staff in the school who sat back and giggled at it. Yeah, you got to go online and look at some pictures. Just type in lap dance for homecoming. And they were having, especially the men, they didn't show any of the women, but man, those men getting them lap dances, yeah, you know, they were tuning it up, turning it up. So, you know, you better watch your kid, make sure your kid ain't, you know, going to school and offering up no lap dance. Don't say it ain't your kid because you don't know it's your kid yet. You don't know. Just make sure it's not yours. Okay? Ask some questions. What are you doing for homecoming? Well, we also talked about that New Jersey teacher who responded to the 17-year-old senior when he asked, can I have some extra time for this assignment? Well, he said, guess what? We do not negotiate with terrorists. Yeah, that was his response. Can you imagine somebody sitting in class, you 17 years old, and somebody looks in your face and calls you a terrorist? Yeah, we need to start doing a little more research when we hiring these school teachers. Yeah, because they going buck wild. They are straight out of control. And again, I tell you to watch your kids and what they're doing as the new TikTok challenge is coming through. Sticking those garlic cloves up your nose, then they seem to think there's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, I tell you, with the regular news stories and the TikTok, oh, it's due time. We'll never run out of things to talk about. Oh, it surely won't. No. It's always something to talk about. Yeah. All you got to do is look at the news. And like I said, between the regular news and the TikTok news, oh, you shall not be bored. Trust me when I tell you. We can make a two-hour show and convert it into the Lord's Talk every day. That's all we got to do is focus on those two things. So here we are today. God has brought us safely through to Freestyle Friday. Yes. Has been awesome. Can you think about all the things that we could have experienced? Yeah. Just think and give God thanks right now for bringing us safely through another week. Yeah. We're up to 76 weeks. 76, 77 weeks. 77 weeks because we missed 1 week when we were on vacation from the switch tip. So we're up to number 76 switch tip. We're up to number 77 weeks. 77 weeks of his due time with Pastor Steph. You've been hanging out with us, and God has brought us through this 77th week. And we can't say thank you enough, because what has taken place this week that has helped us grow, has helped us, you know, think about who God is just a little bit more. We've thought about, you know, how God is doing things and we weren't even thinking about God doing them things. Yeah, think of all the stuff you got, you know, you received this week when God invested in us. Yeah, that's reason to celebrate God all by itself. So, you know, let's get ready to celebrate the men as we're about to hear from them. And boy, do I have some news before we get started with the men. Oh, my goodness gracious. I told you all we got to do is go through the news. And every day, the news gets weirder and worse. Yeah, so let's get ready to take that break. We're going to get that healthy breakfast. We're going to make sure we reach out and call a friend, text a friend. Do whatever you need to do to let people know that a due time with Pastor Steph is on, as well as take a seat. Yeah, get settled, because I don't need you to go anywhere. We need to make sure you stay still, so when the break is over, you know, you'll still be there, okay? So let's, we'll be right back.
Stones of Promise and the Red Cross supports one of the most critical sickle cell treatments of all, the red blood cell transfusion.
People with sickle cell disease have red blood cells that contain mostly hemoglobin as an abnormal hemoglobin type,
which causes a severe anemia and many other complications, such as strokes, which may happen in childhood.
This is why blood transfusions from people with healthy red blood cells can help and may even save the sickle cell affected person's organs, limbs, and life. In the United States, an estimated 100,000 people of various racial, and ethnic backgrounds have sickle cell disease. However, more than 90% of them are of African descent.
Blood from people of similar race and ethnicity is important in ensuring the best transfusion result with the least potential for the body to have a reaction.
If you're thinking about donating with us, please contact the American Red Cross for more information or to schedule a blood donation by visiting www.redcrossblood.org or by calling 1-800-733-2767. Thank you.
Good morning, and good morning to you again, or welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it's Freestyle Friday over here. Yes, we're celebrating the fact that it's the end of the week, and we're celebrating even more so that God has ushered us into another day, the end of another week. Yes, we're really we're quite blessed, in all honesty, to be able to see another day, and especially after I read the news and see how blessed we are, especially when we go over that news that Shantice brought to us yesterday that prompted the pray for them. Yeah. What a sad, sad story. And this reminds us of how blessed we are that we don't have those particular stories in our backyard, in our own life. So let's give God thanks today. Well, I got one story that is just kind of crazy. Yeah. I was like, wow. And I didn't realize the story had taken place so long ago. But it's been more than 10 years since Ellen Greenberg's boyfriend found her dead body in her Philadelphia apartment. And Ms. Greenberg had more than 20 stab wounds on her body. Yes, more than 20 stab wounds. And the coroner at the end of the day declared, are you ready for this? That she was dead by suicide. Now, this 27-year-old elementary school teacher was found just like that, with 20 different stab wounds all over her body, and found, like I said, by the boyfriend. And for 10 years, there's been this back and forth with her parents over the ruling. And the parents are finally suing for this particular the declaration, because they're saying, how in the world is she going to be found in her 6th floor apartment, 20 stab wounds, and she killed herself? Well, the coroner is saying, the medical examiner is saying, hey, listen, I did my research. I found that there have been no defensive wounds. there are no signs of robbery. You know, this is what the detectives and all the people are telling him. And he's pairing that information up with the wounds. And he's saying, hey, if she has no defense wounds and the police are saying there are no signs of robbery, then I declare this is, you know, not homicide, because he changed it. Initially it was homicide, and then now, yeah, because the medical, don't forget, the medical examiners, you know, they're the ones that help the detectives determine how these people have died. And yeah, so between those things that they did their research and found, they said that, listen, I didn't do my research. He said that, hey, you know what? She had been prescribed with some type of anxiety and sleep medication. And one of the side effects of this anxiety and sleep med are thoughts of suicide. So clearly, without defense wounds and the cops saying there's no sign of breaking or foul play, the medical examiner switched that and said, hey, she killed herself. So the parents are now suing. They're like, listen, you're not going to talk about our daughter like this. Ain't no way in the world. So like I said, it's been 10 long years. And, you know, it's got to be hurtful. It's got to be hurtful that, you know, this is what you're looking at. And that means that this is 10 years of nobody looking for someone who killed her. Yeah. Well, clearly they must have cleared the boyfriend. Clearly they must have filled, you know, cleared her boyfriend. And, you know, the parents have been doing their own little, you know, researching to some of the things that they said they found. And one of the things they said was she had filled her car with gas before returning home. She had prepared a fruit salad. And they're like, well, why would she do all of this to then kill herself? So they say in early 21, the family shared some new forensic evidence. They said of the positions of the stab wounds, and they're saying in a way in the world she could have stabbed herself. She said that they said that they now found that there was a gash on the back of her head, and that could have been the, you know, the wound that the blow that killed her, and that could have rendered her also unable to defend herself. So if it wasn't the wound that killed her, then it could have been the reason why she could not defend herself. So can you imagine going through this for 10 long years? You fighting whether your child committed suicide 10 years later. So, you know, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. And that's why I say, you know, we have so much to give God thanks for. Because people are going through some serious stuff here. This ain't no joke. This is no joke at all. All right, well, we got some other news going on. And this is another story that has been going on for a couple of minutes. Well, they say the remains of a little boy has been found 8 years old in his Houston home, and it shows that he died from multiple blunt force injuries. His skeletal remains were found from November of 2020. And check out this situation. Yeah, this is some news to be bringing on Fridays, but we have to, because this is just a build-up to where we're going today. Well, they're saying that he was found dead in the apartment with his siblings who were found abandoned and malnourished, 15, ages 15, 9, and 7. And they were found home alone on Sunday when the 15-year-old finally called authorities. And the teen told the police that the 8-year-old brother had been dead for a year. And the body was in the room next to the one that he was in. And the young man told the police that the parents hadn't been in the apartment for several months. And when they went in there, they said again, like the report we had from last week, that the remains were there, found in just a despicable, you know, condition, as well as the children were on soil carpets, roaches and flies. This seems to be the thing to do to your kids these days. And they said it was just too unrealistic to be real. Yeah, they just couldn't. You know, they always say you just can't make this stuff up. You know, the real stuff can't beat the fiction stuff. I mean, the fiction stuff can't beat the real stuff. Just amazing. And they say that the mother's boyfriend, 31-year-old Ryan Coulter, was charged with the boy's murder, and that the mother, 35 years old, Gloria Williams, was charged with injury to a child by omission and tampering with evidence, and says that the mother would periodically either drop food off or have a delivery service drop the food off. But they say it wasn't no real food. It was like junk food. And they had not been in school for a year, over a year, actually. And they were really, really in bad shape. And, okay, so I must tell you this part. The boyfriend is on the other side of the fence. So that leaves mama on this side of the fence. And somebody said, well, what does it matter? It matters. It matters. This trifling behavior, it is just disgusting. Why are we doing our children like this? Why are we doing our kids like this? I don't understand. To these boyfriends, I don't understand what is going on with these people. These are your children. What are you doing? So, you know, if three were left the apartment alive, found in the apartment, then there were four children all together. And this is what you were dropping food by. Like, you were a delivery service. So between the real delivery service and you were dropping food by, and what did they do? Come to the door and get it, and you just pulled off, or you knocked and ran? What did you do? Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Yeah, so that was, you know, that was just a bit much for me to, you know, come through this, you know, last night. It was just like, really? We just got finished reading last week the same situation with the mom and her friend with the 25-year-old daughter. So I don't know. Is this like people just like to say, okay, this is what we're going to do now. We're going to leave these people, you know, these people that need us, our children, in this kind of condition? Well, I got one more story for you about our type. And this one is really, really, really just disgusting and pathetic. So, they have this thing called the Baker Act. It took me a minute to figure out what in the world. And this is like, they did a chronological review on this particular story of little Julian Carter, was 11. And I got to tell you, I was trying to figure out, am I going to go through this here? And I think I will. I think I will. So they had little Julian Carter, who they diagnosed with mental illness from 8 years old. And he was getting, I guess, some level of help. And he was in school over this period of time, between the ages of 8 when he was diagnosed with the mental illness and 11 years old. And they say that he had gone under the State Baker Act 44 times. That means that there were 44 occurrences where he was mistreated or some report was made, and 44 times this was done. And I want to just kind of tell you some of the stuff that he experienced. Well, let me just go to this part here. Okay, so he was staying with his grandma. And while he was with the grandmother, they ate dinner this particular night. And she said while he was eating dinner, he complained about an upset stomach. Stomach was bothering him. And he got worse. And because he grew sicker, she called 911. So they took him to the emergency room. And they found out that he had taken pills because he wanted to kill himself at 11 years old. So Wednesday, remember Vivian talked about this suicide? Well, he wanted to kill himself, and he said that he had been having thoughts of shooting his classmates. Well, little Julian died on the way to the hospital, and they ruled his death a suicide. Yeah. And as they went through this channel of what went wrong, they say that little Julian had tried to take his own life before by running into traffic at school. And they said his illness was so severe that the mental health professionals recommended him for long-term residential treatment at least 20 times, but he never got it. They say that his treatment was fragmented, spanning 6 healthcare systems. And between 2016 and 2019, he had received at least 11 diagnoses, including depression, impulse control disorder, and bipolar disorders. And doctors have prescribed medications. And they said that, you know, his problems were complex. And all of the interventions that he had received, at the end of the day, they really don't consider something real important, something that would have changed all of this, was even done, okay? And they say that this went on for so long, and he kept going back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth, but they never changed the true, base situation. And they just kind of shrugged it off. So, like they said, you know, he was going, he had gotten diagnosed, the psychiatrist, psychologist had, you know, recommended certain things, but all the things that they had ultimately recommended kind of got shrugged off. And they say the state has been sweeping their responsibility for too long. And it got to the point where he ended up swallowing the pills and killing himself. But at the same time, had been thinking about killing his classmates. So he ended up killing himself first. You know, so I'm just kind of looking. They're saying, and that's how they get to this 44, this 44 Baker's Act, with all of the interventions that was made over the course of this 2016 to 2019. They said through all of that, nobody really made the moves that they needed to make on his behalf. And they say that this is just the norm. They say that we don't hear about it as much as it actually goes on. That all of this stuff happened to these children and they get swept underneath the rug. So they're trying to make some changes, and we don't know how it's going to help. We don't know how it's going to help. And again, I want to give this National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-8255, you know, because this is some serious stuff here. Some serious stuff here. Please watch your children. If you yourself are having issues, you know, make sure you reach out. Make sure you tell somebody. You know, this mental illness thing is really a lot bigger than it has been, you know, made out to be. This mental illness is something that's always been swept underneath the rug. This is not something that people are, you know, paying attention to the way they need to. Don't underestimate your family history. No, you know, because there are genetics involved. And that's another thing, you know, especially, you know, the church where they just tell you go pray, you know, and nobody's really paying attention. They think that, you know, something else is wrong. And, you know, they don't like to talk about it in the church because, you know, hey, somebody really might think negative and bad about families. Listen, if you need help, you need help. I mean, come on. You just got to be honest. It's not hiding and shielding. This ain't going to help. This is not going to help. And I'm going to tell you something. We keep finding that all of these parents, we can't get these kids away from the parents because there's no speaking of the parents here in this particular case of Julian. There's no dad mentioned. There's no mom mentioned. And grandma had him at the end of the day. So if grandma had him in between the ages of 8 and 11, that's pretty young. You know, that's what they're mentioning, all of this mental illness was recognized. So, you know, we talked about the other woman and the man, you know, the mom who we're going to go back and we're going to talk about that. Who, you know, the boyfriend was charged with the murder of the little boy, and mom was dropping off the food to the kids in a drive-by manner. Something's wrong with these people. They are ill. They are ill. You just can't have this heinous behavior all the time. And what's behind the heinous behavior? Illness. A lot of times mental illness is behind this heinous behavior, you know, and we're coming back to that. But I want to talk to our men today, you know, as we're talking about these stories. Let's talk to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you? How you doing over there?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right.
You know, Pastor KL, by the time we get to Fridays, we are really, like, on this high note. For the past few weeks, we've really gotten to the point where we're talking on Friday about some serious mental health issues with all this behavior during the week. And it's really shifted. Our conversations have really shifted. We started off with the 8-year-old who was found in the home. His skeletal remains were found in the home with his three brothers in the next room. The 15-year-old called in to the cops and said, I'm here with my two brothers, and my dead 8-year-old brother has been dead for a year since November of 2020 in the next room. And those are his skeletal remains were over there. And they went into the home and they said that the living conditions were unspeakable again. Second week in a row, we're talking about this here. They were on soil carpets with roaches and flies. And they are charging moms. They're charging mom's boyfriend, 31-year-old Brian Coulter, with this murder. And they're charging 35-year-old mom with, they're charging her with injury to a child by omission and tampering with evidence. And they say that mom was dropping the food off at the house, or either sending a food delivery service. And it really wasn't food, it was like junk food. And I'm saying to myself, okay, we're talking about this mental illness. This is bigger than just this heinous behavior. You know, this stuff has got to be somehow, you know, at times, and even heinous behavior is mental. It's some mental illness going on. What comes to your head when you're hearing stuff like this?
I guess one of my questions was mom not staying there?
Yeah, she wasn't. The boys said that mom... Nobody had been there for months. Mom hadn't been there for months. And during the months she hadn't been there, this is when she was taking the time to drop off the food. Either she was dropping off the food or she was sending a delivery service. And finally, he called, the 15-year-old called the cops and told them about it.
Well, I definitely commend the 15-year-old. You know, no matter how long it took for him to get up the nerves to do it, he got up the nerves to do it. And I definitely commend him for taking charge of that. But, you know, we always say that some people don't need to be parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you can, after the 15-year-old, you continue to have children, knowing that you probably wasn't doing right by the 15-year-old. So you just perpetrated... You know, all of this stuff. And then, depending on what type of life you were living, you know, she could have been out there on 42nd Street and kept on getting caught, kept on bringing children back to the house. You know what I mean? So even your hustle, you wasn't responsible. you know what I mean? So at no point, you know, mentally, you know, first of all, to go out there and do something like that mentally, you know, that's a whole other thing. But then even with your hustle, you know, mentally you wasn't stable to say, hey, you know, this is what I have to do to provide. I can't bring something else in. I can't provide for the ones I got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kept on bringing in and adding fuel to the fire, which is another mental stress. Listen, I don't care. Some of the best of us, you know, who are in our right mind, get stressed over one child, you know, let alone two and three and four and five, you know, being in a single house. I mean, I was a single parent to two children, you know, and if that ain't stress, you know, I tip my hat off to women who do it. But that's stressful, you know, and I'm in my right mind. So think about, had I not been in my right mind, you know, that's just, you know, we make decisions, you know, it's like a gift that keeps on giving. We make decisions that's just not deplorable, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, this is, you know, So they were 15. Let me say the ages again, because I'm looking at the little boy who. So the little one who was murdered was 8 years old. The children in the house was 15, 9, and 7. So in between them is the one that was murdered. Not even the baby or the oldest. So somehow or another, the one in between got caught in this madness of being murdered. And this was the behavior. I don't know what happened. They don't say why. I was saying that, you know, boyfriend is on one side of the fence. Mom is on this side of the fence. She's 35. He's 31. You know, we don't know at what point she picked him up, you know, and started, you know, dealing with him or living with him. And, you know, this is, you know, I'm going to mention something that I said to Shanti's last night. I said, you know, we're talking about, and I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to come back. You know what? Let me just leave that there, because I want to talk to you and both Brother Al about this. Let me just make me a little note, or either I'll forget. But yeah, I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there.
You know what? Just listening to your story, you know, with him being on that side, she being on this side, was that the new pimp? Or was that the, you know, saying the person who's providing drugs? I mean, there's a lot of scenarios you can look at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
mm-hmm.
mean, she's out the house, he's in the house. Well, you know, the pimps usually don't have to roll the streets because, you know, you got to bring me my money.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's a lot of different things, right?
Absolutely, which brings me, you'll see why that makes a lot of sense in the point that I'm going to bring up in a little while. And we're definitely going to come back to that. I want to talk about that in a minute. The other story we talked about was the parents who for over 10 years have been fighting that their 27-year-old daughter did not commit suicide. So the 27-year-old daughter was found in her sixth floor home apartment 10 years ago. Her boyfriend found her. She was found with over 20 stab wounds on her body. They say that there was no forced entry, no signs of robbery, no defense wounds, and thus the coroner moved determination from homicide to suicide. So for 10 years they have been fighting that this is not and has not been suicide, because the coroner also said that, hey, she had been prescribed some anxiety and sleep meds, and the side effects to that med, one of the side effects was suicidal thoughts. So she finally went ahead and, you know, succumbed to those thoughts, and she killed herself. And the family is arguing, no, they said that they found a trauma to the back of her head, which could have been the blow that killed her, or either it could have rendered that blow could have rendered her incapacitated or unable to defend herself. So that could have been the lack of defense wound. And she had filled her cart with gas, prepared this salad, and then she's found dead. So how in the world is she killing herself with 20 stab wounds? I mean, can you imagine fighting this fight for 10 years to try to prove that your child did not commit suicide? Oh my gosh.
Which seemingly seems to be the obvious. I mean, when you look
mm-hmm.
at the child, And you see, you know, the defensive posture, because she's been stabbed, she's been hit over the head. You know, yeah, we took the medicine that the medical people have prescribed. We didn't just decide, you know, hey, let me take this pill today. This is something that was prescribed to me. And you knew the problems or the side effects. See, that's why I don't understand. They have all this medicine, and then on the very, very bottom, you know, can make you blind, can you make you do this, make you do that. Why would I want to take something like that? You know, but again, we're going to use that, you know, saying as the cause, because that's what the pill bottle said. You know, you can cause suicide. So, of course, you know, you're taking these pills. What else am I going to say? But, you know, for lack of people trying to do their job, they'll push stuff mm-hmm. under the rug and say, this mm-hmm. is what it is. Forget about the marks and the bruises and the bumps and the lumps. You know, it had to be the pills.
You know, mm-hmm. 20 stab wounds to her, over 20 stab wounds to her body at 27 years old. I guess, like I said earlier, I guess they cleared the boyfriend because, hey, she took the pills.
Right.
That's what they said. It's amazing. 10 years they've been at this, and now they're suing because they're saying you're not going to, you know, you haven't done anything. And you're not going to send our daughter's name into the toilet by saying that she committed suicide. And this is where we are as parents.
You know, and the boyfriend may be advocating for the pills to get himself
absolutely.
Off.
Absolutely. Right.
You know what I mean? So
right
here, there's no weakness, you know what I'm saying? But you can say, yeah, I know she took the pills. So did she stab herself mm-hmm. 20 times?
Right.
Who does that?
That's the first
Listen,
thing. Right, that's the
after
first
the,
thing.
After the
that.
First stab, I changed
right.
my mind. You know what I mean? After the first stab, I'm like, my bad. I didn't think this thing through. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm
going to
keep
Absolutely.
On stabbing me? No.
Over 20 times.
Right.
Over
you come
times.
To your right mind after that first right. or second stab. That's why people try to slit their wrist. So then it's
right.
over. You know what I mean?
Right.
People are
right.
not going to continue inflict pain to themselves. Listen, I'm trying to die. I'm not trying to hurt.
Right, right. I want this to be over. So
right.
I got to
mm-hmm.
keep doing this to myself. Not only that, but after how many times are you weak that you can't even inflict that level of pain?
Right,
That stab wound is as that deep that you're going to kill yourself. You know, because after the third or fourth time, when I go to stab myself that night, this ain't going as far as the first two times. You know, at what point are we thinking this way? Well, clearly at no point. Because,
right.
you know, this is, I don't know, Pastor Kale, this is something that is really just so out of control and makes, you know, this department very lazy and unreasonable. And how many other cases have been thrown down the drain like this one at the
right.
end? Think about it, you
right.
know?
Right.
Oh,
right.
We got one more. We got one more before we move on to Brother Al. We have this thing that they call the Baker's Act. And they're saying that little Julian in between 2016 and 2019 had been diagnosed, dealt with, called to somebody's attention 44 times, still never got the help he needed. And at the end of the day, he ended up swallowing pills to committed suicide. They rendered his death suicide, and that was after he thought about shooting his classmates. 44 things that they came up with that he had been called to somebody's attention, but nothing was ever done. And now he's not here anymore at the age of 11. In between the ages of 8 and 11, 44 times, and you end up dead. I don't consider that suicide. I consider it murder.
Right.
That's the word.
I mean, both the medical department and the mental health department, they dropped the ball. You know, they dropped the ball not once, but quite a few times. And if everyone is saying this is what it is, then someone should have stepped up and say, okay, this is what we need to do. You know, you can tell me that I got a problem, but if you can't give me a solution to my problem, just telling me is not going to help me. Because, okay, now I'm aware there's a problem. Okay, we're all aware. Okay, Pastor KL has a problem. Now help me with the problem. You know, we keep on diagnosing and giving our recommendations, but no one's sending me anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's where the... Listen, you can't tell me, you know, I'm pregnant and then just send me home. I need to know what I need to look for and what I need to do, you know, saying this prenatal care, that I got to come to the doctor, I got to do this. You can't just, you know, I got cut. I need stitches, but send me home with a Band-Aid. You know, that's a problem. And that's what we're doing. We're saying you have a problem, but let me give you this Band-Aid. You know, hopefully if I just cover the problem, you can't see it anymore. And that's what we're doing. We're putting bandages on stuff to cover it, but we're never suturing it, or we're never dealing with it. We're never going inside to fix what the problem is. You know, tell me I have cancer, now go home. You know, how do we live like that?
Yep. 44 times, you know, somebody said something, and the Child Protective Services or the welfare system, they're naming all of these agencies, did nothing. And 11 years old, he swallows a bunch of pills and he takes his own life. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh, but we're coming back to some stuff here. I want to hopefully get to our conversation, but we got to talk about this stuff. Let's say good morning to our Brother Al. Where's Brother Al? There we go. Brother Al, good morning.
Chop, chop on a morning, chop, chop on a Friday blessed morning. How are you, Pastor Steph, Pastor Care? Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you. I can hear you doing well on that, and thank God. Never have that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
You're doing really well. Thank God for that. All right, Al, we're talking about all of this activity going on with our children. You know, our first story we're covering is the little boy, 8 years old, found in the home dead with his brothers, his three brothers, 15, 9, and 7, and mom's boyfriend charged with the murder. And mom is doing drive-bys with food. And 15-year-old finally gets to the point where he calls the 911, thank God.
Now, if this ain't mental issues, I don't know what mental issues are. And it's just like what you've been saying. People don't realize how big this mental issue thing is. And not only mental issues, she also mentally abused her children. Because for them to sit there for a year with a dead body next door, I mean, you know, in the next room, and we didn't even talk about, we didn't even get to the part of the smell of the body rotting. Until it got to the, so that's unhealthiness for them to be inhaling, first of all, on that. And then for you to just only drop food by, you know, either you drop it by or you send it by, and then just keep going and living your life, you know, that's insane. Like, were you on drugs, or was this child born with a disability and you was like, I can't deal with it? You know, people don't realize that, too. It's very hard taking care of a child with a disability. That's very, very stressful. I mean, that's so stressful. Like Pastor Kale said, you know, we pretty much saying, and you know, and get stressed. So imagine a person with mental problems getting stressed. It's like quadruple the stress level. So I'm just listening to this story, and my mouth is just open like, wow, are you serious? And it showed no compassion. She had no compassion, no nothing. Okay, you know what? The kids, they'll be all right. Let them deal with it. I'll drop them by some food, you know, make sure they eat, and I'll keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. These people got some serious mental issues. It is nowhere in the world these people don't have mental illnesses. It's nowhere in the world. No way in the world. And unfortunately, they're not giving this a thought. They're not giving us a thought. Right. These people need to be in some level of mental institution and actually watched and monitored. And this is the word I'm looking for. I can't think of the word right now.
Right.
But, yeah, this is definitely mm-hmm. some mental illness going on at high levels.
Yeah, and even a boyfriend. He mental, too. For, you know, I think that he was charged with the murder. And it's like, you know, wow, like, you just killed a child. You know, you just took another human being life, and you cool with it. Okay, you take mm-hmm. the video to the other kids. I ain't going back over there. And she's going along with it, right? She
right,
should be charged,
right, right. Absolutely. And that's what I always say. You know, these boyfriends are fine because mom is fine. Mom
right.
is, you know, all of these stories, mom has something to do with it. Very rarely are we hearing these days where these things are happening and mom is not aware and she comes home and finds this. We don't hear those stories often anymore. We really
right.
don't hear
right.
those stories anymore. You know, so,
yeah.
you know, we really need to really check these people out. We're moving over to the story, Brother Al, where the parents have been living with this 10-year-old issue of their daughter being, it's been decided and ruled that the daughter had committed suicide. And they're like, no, you're not doing that. We're not doing that. She was murdered. There's nowhere in the world she committed suicide by stabbing herself more than 20 times. Can you see this being suicide?
No, that young lady was murdered, period. I mean, it's just like you said, when someone committing suicide, they're not looking to suffer through pain. They want to get it over quick and go on their way, you know. So, and then there's, like you said, there's a hit in the back of the head, a stab or some type of injury to the back of the head, which means she was hit from behind. And all this technology that it got, and as I'm listening to the story, I have no choice but to believe that it was on our side of the fence. Because, you know, when it comes down to things, they just, oh, he committed suicide, okay, let's move on. They don't want to dig deeper and see what else is going on. And all this technology, man, I mean, I was watching TV and I see that they got this camera that they could come set up in the house and it takes a whole picture of the murder scene. And you could break down everything that went down in that scene. And you're going to tell me this young lady been stabbed 20-something times, got a injury to the back of her head, but she committed suicide. Or you want to blame the pills. Come on. Nah. The mother was right. And I feel for the mother for going through this for so long, trying to prove, listen, my daughter was not, she did not commit suicide. She was murdered. So I can imagine what she went through as a parent. You know, I'm a parent and I lost a child. And just losing a child alone is, oh, man, I can't even explain it. But then to know that, okay, it was foul play involved, and I'm trying to prove it, and y'all not listening to me, man, I feel for the mother as well.
Yeah, well, I want to go back and say it's the Greenbergs. So Greenberg sounds pretty on the other side of the fence to me. I think they sound like mm-hmm. they're Jewish. They could be Jewish, but
okay.
it's the Greenbergs, and it's the parents.
Okay.
You know, so thank God mom is not alone enduring this. Both parents are fighting and have been fighting this ruling for this past 20 years. So thank God mom is not having to endure all of this alone. You know, she does have
right.
dad there to fight this, you know, battle with her. We're going to talk about this last story here before we go into our next phase of Lil Julian Carter, 44 times between the ages of 8 and 11, that his issues were addressed, but yet no significant movement in his life. And he, at the end of the day, swallowed a bunch of pills and committed suicide and talked about shooting his classmates. So we don't know if the classmates did anything to him or not, but that's as far as his you know, his thoughts went.
Right. Okay, on that note, they dropped the ball, period. This child had needed help. And the reason they dropped the ball because they don't understand it fully. So what happened, you got these people who are so-called experts, and they don't have the answers. I deal with that here at the school. They don't have the answers. So as a parent, and I'm coming, and you're telling me you're an expert, I want to hear answers. They don't have no answers. So they just start pushing it away and pushing it to the side, and now this little boy has died. You know, and they should be held fully accountable. Somebody needs to go to jail for dropping the ball in this because they pushed it to the side. And that's what they normally do when they don't have a full answer to what's going on. They push it to the side because they're experimenting right now. This mental health thing is, like you said, is huge. And they have no clue about it. I sit back and I watch what they do. So now what they do, they push it to the side, hoping it'll go away. Or, you know what, let's dope them up with all this medicine. And like you said, that medicine they give them is doing some things to those kids as well. And, you know, and now this kid that went and swallowed all these pills and killed himself, and nobody know nothing. No, somebody need to go to jail. Somebody need to go to jail for that because that's just insane. And like I said, they push this inside. I watch them do it here in the school. They don't understand fully. They don't know what to do. So they say, you know what? Let me push this inside. Let me just give them some pills. No, we need to find out what this is. You are an expert, right? Let me keep researching and find out what's going on.
Yeah, this is a mess here. This is an ultimate mess. I want to thank you so much, Brother Al. Thank you, Pastor Kale, for joining us today as we talk about these things. I want to bring up this. It's long-term related. Let me put it like that. And then we got a couple of minutes to talk about this here. So, the Grammy Association is saying now that R. Kelly is convicted and has gone through this trial, that they want to take back his Grammy. What's your thought, Pastor KL?
I think that's really not called for. He apparently earned his Grammys. I mean, he worked hard for it. I mean, what he does on the side, if you will, or in his personal life, you know, had nothing to do with his job. You know, he sang, he wrote, he did what he did. The people, you know, appreciated his music, even so that the people from the Grammy Awards. You know, they heard the voices of the people. So, yeah, I think that would be a real disjustice. I mean, he won't be, you know, looking at them on the mantle or anything, but, I mean, there is.
All right. Brother Al, what's your thought? You know, should they say they're really giving this some consideration? They want to go do some research. They want to think about this thing because they want to take back these Grammys that they have given to R. Kelly.
I'm sorry, give me 1 second, please.
You know,
he's playing the role of R. Kelly right now.
You know, Pastor KL, let's talk about this thing. You know, when the first question that I came up with was, what's the criteria to receive a Grammy? Oh, we're going to talk about how many times you have sex. Are we going to talk about how many, you know, what kind of car you drive? Are we going to talk about the kind of house you live in? Are we going to talk about what you do as a side hustle? You know, how many times you've been married? How many children you have? What kind of clothes you wear? How tall you are? How short you are? How fat you are? How thin you are? What's the criteria for a Grammy in order for you to win a Grammy? And the particular Grammy that they mentioned, he got the Grammy for I Believe I Can Fly from the soundtrack of Space Jam. That was one of the Grammys that they mentioned that he had received. And So that's the first thing that came to my mind, you know. Okay, so what's the criteria?
I'm back, Pastor Steph. Sorry, I'm back.
You're back. Well, thank you so much for joining us. What's the criteria for Grammy nomination? You know what I'm saying? And that way, you know, let's start there. You know, and that's kind of like a rhetorical, sarcastic question. What you got to say, Brother Al?
Okay, I did hear the question. Sorry about that. I get a burst of kids to let in real quick. I don't think that they should take his Grammy back. I mean, he earned that. Okay, he did what he did or whatever. He's paying a price for it, but I don't think they should take it back. As far as criteria for a Grammy, it's how long your song was number one on the chart. It's how long, how many downloads you got, how many records you have sold, you know, because people don't understand. You got gold, you got platinum, then you got something that people don't even never heard of called diamond. People have never even heard of that. There's not many artists make a song that goes diamond. So all of that stuff come into play when you're being nominated. How many times the song is being in rotation on the radio station, you know? So, and how long it lasts. You know, you got some songs come out, okay, it's a great song. It lasts for maybe 2 months, 3 months. Where his song came out and lasted for a couple of years, people were playing that at their wedding. They were playing it in church. That song was all over the place, I Believe I Can Fly. So that put you in a nomination for a Grammy.
Absolutely. It has nothing to do with your personal life. Nothing. So you didn't earn this award or these awards. And this has been my argument this whole time. You know, you can do what you want to do about this conviction. Put your phone on mute, Brother Al. You can do whatever you want to do when it comes to the conviction of his behavior and his criminalistic actions. You know, we already know that they didn't, you know, design some new stuff for him. You know, so he can be charged with, and I'm not saying that he, you know, wrongly accused, blah blah blah, but we're going for overkill here. We're going for overkill, and the reason why I'm kind of also bringing this up is because we're talking about here. We got 44 times where someone was talking about this child, trying to get this child some help, and look at where these type of things could end up. Where now he's going to jail pretty much for the rest of his life because no one addressed what he was going through when he was a child. We know that, you know, he was molested and blah, 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 blah. And we underestimate, you know, the effect of what's going on. And here we are now, and now you trying to tap into the musical side of his life, which has nothing to do with what he did in his criminalistic private world. How do you make the connection, Pastor KL?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in total agreement with you. I mean, he could have been that child, you know, and they could have diagnosed him with quite a few things. Listen, a lot of times, you know, even when you're, for lack of a better term, a genius, you know, as something, you got underlying issues.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the underlying issues are mental. You know, the reason why, you know, you put so much into something is because you're dealing with something else, you know, and it flows into your music, or it flows into your dance, or it flows into whatever your art is, you know, and you could have had a lot of, you know, underlying mental stuff that no one wanted to deal with, but they said, okay, you can sing, let me push and promote this. You can, you know, say you have a talent, let me push and promote this. This way, this can hide this. You know, sometimes we just, you know, you hear people talk about sweeping things under the rug, but they don't really understand that statement. A lot of stuff in a lot of different areas is swept under the rug, and only until you begin to really thoroughly clean your house, do you recognize the stuff? You know, we got to a point where he threw a lot of stuff under the rug. or his parents do a lot of stuff under the rug, and now everything is coming out because we decided to investigate and clean the house.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Point well taken. Good points, Pastor KL. Brother Al, you know, we're talking about, you know, these children who are experiencing mental illness and all kinds of treatment. And ultimately, this could have been little Julian or other children later on in life. How do you make the connection?
Well, like I said, it's ignored and swept under the rug, you know. And then nobody really wants to do anything until something serious happened. Now that it went overboard, now everybody want to run in. Oh, why did this happen? They want to point the fingers at each other, and they want to do the perfect example like we're talking about R. Kelly. You know, this ain't an issue that just started. He been had this problem, but the people around him saw that he was a genius when it comes to writing song. He didn't just write his song. He wrote for Michael Jackson. He wrote for Mary J. Blige. He wrote for so many people, and every song he wrote was a hit. So when people looking at it, they're like, okay, he got a little issue with the little girl, but okay, that's his business. We, you know, as long as he write this song, I'm all right. So everybody just pushed it away and pushed it away. And everybody who was involved should pay, not just him. You know, like I said, like the state, for instance. Why you have a state that said it's okay to date a 16-year-old? Why would you do that? Or, okay, you had that. You saw what happened. Change it now. Change it. But no,
right,
y'all still
right,
got
right.
it that it's okay to date a 16-year-old. So now what you're doing? You're setting it up for the next person to come along because there's always going to be predators. So now you're setting it up for the next person who watch what's going on with R. Kelly and be like, okay, you know what? I got to do this a little bit differently. I see what happened to him, but I can do it differently and get over with it. I could use that law against them. So we have to hit that problem from the jump. As soon as you see it, you got to start recognizing it and saying, okay, you know what? Let me do something about it. You know, and even dealing with a situation at my school now, you know, this little kid, he acts up all the time. His mother just keeps pushing under the roof. She gets to the point where she said, oh, you know what? Y'all picking on my child. And I'm just looking at her like, we need to address this while he's in the third grade. We need to address this now and see what we can do to help him instead of you making excuses for him or you sitting there saying somebody's picking on him. So we got to get that problem from the beginning, that why it's a small problem before it gets into a giant problem.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, when, you know, I want to say to the both of you, and Pastor Kale, you brought this issue up first, and immediately I remember when they were doing when they were having a conversation about R. Kelly, one of his music teachers, she mentioned that she brought it to someone's attention that he had to be going through something in the home, because when he wrote songs, in the lyrics was indication that there was something going on behind the scenes. And she brought it to someone's attention, the powers that be, and nobody, as you both have said, nobody did anything about it. Got swept underneath the rug. So here you again, you have an opportunity. These children are crying out. He's writing music, he's writing songs, and is speaking of his experience in a covert way, and nobody's saying or doing anything when it's brought to the attention, you know, when it's brought to their attention, I should say. So now you have years later, you know, because his footprint is everywhere. His footprint is in rock, his footprint is in pop, R&B, gospel. It is everywhere. You cannot dismiss this man out of music history. It's there. Whether he wrote it, promoted, sang on it, it doesn't matter. His footprint is everywhere. You can't start pulling back all these things like this. But had you taken the time, had the people taken the time earlier to pay attention. So here you have teachers that are saying, hey, you know, I'm looking at this song. This is a nice song, but this song talks about some, I think we need to pay attention to this. What happens after that? And now he's being criminally charged with his behavior. Because when people, you know, talk about, you know, I called their attention. I asked him, you know, are you sure this is what you want to do? He was out of control at that point. Out of control. Pastor KL, from a music, you know, standpoint, you know, you think you're writing, you know, you brought up the issue of, you know, this here, and that's why I wanted to put a stamp on it and let you know the teacher saw it. It was a female black teacher who brought it to their attention. What do you do at this point?
Well, you know what, and being an artist, I will tell you something that, you know, even in your dark lyrics, you know, I mean, let's forget about dark lyrics. Let's go to an artist like Erykah Badu when it says, you better call Tyrone. Because females have been in that situation for so long, they gravitate to that because they're able to identify with it. So sometimes when you're able to identify and stuff like that, you motivate the artist because now they're hitting in my home. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, you know, when we hear stuff that we can relate to, we gravitate to that. And we don't look at their dark side because they're too busy singing to my emotions, you know, and helping me deal with the stuff that I'm going through. So now we're appreciating that someone gets it, not realizing that they really got it. You know what I'm saying? In order to write like that, you have to experience certain things. You know, Stevie Wonder, because he couldn't see, experienced the world differently, and he wrote it that way. So in order to really appreciate it, not that we don't appreciate it, but you almost have to be blind to be able to appreciate the way he saw it. So a lot of times when females or males write a song that knocks on your door, you don't look at they got a problem. You look at, finally, somebody gets my problem. I've been speaking and I've been talking so long, and no one understands me, but he got it. She got it right. And now I'm singing this song, and it's going over and over and over and over, and it's almost like a gospel song that touches your spirit, and you finally get it.
Wow. Brother Al, how do you identify with the fact that, you know, hey, not identify with it, but what's your thought on, you know, the fact that, yeah, these people are speaking and they're writing from experience. So that filters into the world.
Right. Yeah. They're writing from their experience. And also, you know, like I said, when I look, you know, R. Kelly was just a genius when it came to writing. And what R. Kelly did, he went, because he grew up in the hood, so he did things for the hood. You know, like in the hood, when somebody passed away, in their eyes, it's like, let me pour out a little liquor for my boy. You know, R. Kelly put that in his song. You know, he listened to the slang that these young kids use. Like, he used one word, tweaking, right? People were saying that. Yo, why you tweaking? Which was another word, but why you bugging out? Why you acting crazy? And so he would use the same language that they used in the street and put it in his song. So, again, the people look at it like, wow, okay, he's from the hood with us. He relate to what we're talking about. He see what we see. Because R. Kelly said it himself in an interview. He said, I sit down, I listen to everybody. All the artists that are out on the top of the chart, I listen to them. Rappers, whoever. I hear what they talking about. I hear what they saying. And he writes that, you know, to stay on top. That's why he's been on top for so long. And then you get people get caught up. Because I'm going to tell you, too, I even got caught up. Because I remember one time when I said, I'm like, wow, this dude R. Kelly, he's a genius, but he's crazy. He's writing this. And then he made this gospel song called He Saved Me. And I'm listening to the lyrics. And I'm like, whoa, yo, that is deep right there. You know, so he had a way, too, when the press was on him, just come out with some hot song and make you forget everything that just happened. He was a genius at that. He was a genius at that. When I listened to that song, I'm like, wow, yo, that song is deep right there. He saved me. And, you know, because he made a whole side gospel album that had some great songs on it. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe he's turning himself around. You know, I'm listening to what he's saying in his song. Okay, maybe he's seeking God. He's getting help. Yo, you had me fooled. But that's what he did. And he was a genius at it. And the people who was around when they was getting that money from him, they was okay, because like even when when the show was out, Surviving R. Kelly, I'm listening to things people saying. Like one lady, his dancer. I always talk about his dancer. Oh, I seen him with the young girls. I seen him doing this. I seen him do this and that. And what did you do? You turned right around and brought your little 15-year-old niece to him to get a record deal. There was a mother and father. Oh, we heard some things. You know, we have heard some things, but, you know, we figured it was just, you know, words. So, you know, we brought a door. Are you serious? So I'm listening to people because now they're thinking of, this man is a genius. He got Grammys. He got awards. He got money. And he could get my daughter on. You know what I'm saying? So they push all that to the side. Now that it's out, you want to talk about him like a dog. So it's crazy.
You know, it again, it speaks to, you know, both of you mentioned, you know, when you speak from experience, when you speak from, you know, that's why they say rap has always been so popular, because it tapped into the reality of what people were going through. You know, rappers write about the streets. That's what people know. People know the street, and they're like, oh, you know, yeah, they singing my song. They talking my talk. They living my life. They understand. And a smart person, a genius, would listen to what's going on and meet the need. And people want to hear, you know, the reality, which is one of the reasons why this broadcast is enjoyed, because we all wear a pastoral hat or something like that, but we're speaking from reality. We're speaking of personal experience. We're speaking of what we know. We're not speaking from the pulpit per se. You know, it's not coming straight from the Bible. It's kind of interjecting reality with, you know, with the Bible, so which is real. So, you know, that's what people crave. That's what people want. And, you know, when it goes back to, you know, even DMX, you know, who was, they said they hated for him to get in trouble, but they knew when he went to jail, oh, he did his best writing. It was something about that solitude. It was something about that aloneness. It was something about, you know, him being in that environment that allowed him to tap in to a place that he would come out with hits. So, yeah, they hated for him to go into that darkness, but from that darkness came something that was a smash. And, you know, what do you do at that point? And, you know, what's his name? You know, they always talk about the fact that he calls himself, R. Kelly called himself the Pied Piper, because the Pied Piper sang and played music and, you know, had everybody following him. Well, Pied Piper, Pastor KL, now they're mad because they followed him. What do you say now?
Yeah, and again, you know, they will raise you up, you know, at one point, but then they will assassinate you the next point. You know, Jesus was the greatest thing for a lot of people. Then all of a sudden, look what happened. You know, Stoner was like, hey, give me Barabbas. You know what I mean? They understood who Barabbas was. You know what I mean? But give me, I'd rather have Barabbas. You know, but when I'm doing miracles and when I'm giving sight to the blind, and, you know, when I'm writing songs that are tickling your fancy or making you sleep well at night or being played at your funeral or at your wedding, then I'm the greatest. But because you tapped into my personal life, now you want Barabbas, the one who did nothing for you.
Wow.
You know, so yeah, it's deep.
Wow. Brother Al, like, you know, he called himself the Pied Piper, and everybody moved with him. Now they mad because they moved with him.
Yeah, it's insane. And like I said, I can relate to some of it, you know, with being a basketball star. I remember hitting a shot on the buzzer to win the game.
oh, I was a hero. People trying to carry me on their shoulder, you know, they just talked about forever. You know, they talk about, he get a shot to win the game. Then I missed a shot to lose a game. Oh, my God, they treated me like they never knew me. But you can't even make a little short shot. You're going to make us lose the game. But this 2 weeks ago, I was the hero. And it's something that will tear you down mentally. It will tear you down mentally. And, no, as a few minutes ago when you were just talking, you hit something right on the head with these artists. They talk about what they go through and they can relate. A perfect example, even with here, you know, we're blessed to be here on the Due Time Show with Pastor Steph. Why do you think Church Folks Tuesday is the hottest day? Because,
right,
Pastor Steph, you bring to the table what they, people know and want to say, but we say it. And we keep it real. Hey, this is what happened. You know, as you being a pastor, Pastor Kale, y'all been through some things, trying to lead these people to God and being the head of something. Y'all go through some things. I would not want y'all job. You know what I'm saying? But you're able to see these things and come on the air and say, hey, listen, okay, this is what happened in church. Yo, people do this. We talked about the food. We talked about everything. And you got people who won't touch that subject. So this is, we're reporting what we see. And the people love it because the people are like, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I experienced that. Yeah, yeah. I remember she bought that macaroni and it tasted like wood. You know, and we bold enough to say this is what it is. And it's and like I said, I could just imagine what R. Kelly go through like with that. You know, yeah, you up. When you up, you good. But when you do something, because like I said, I've been through it, but I missed that shot, but I was the worst person on the planet. I just won this almost to a championship. This is how y'all treat me. And they talked about me. People wouldn't speak. I'm walking on camera. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, you can't make a shot. Leave me alone. What?
Wow.
And mentally, let me tell you, Pastor Steph, and mentally, seriously, mentally, I got down about that. Like, wow. Like, you know, seriously, like, the jokes and everything. And I had to really get myself together. And, you know, at that time, I wasn't fully to the Lord. But I think back, and the Lord is the one that kept me up. Because these people, then the next game, I score some points, we win the game, I'm back on top. So now in my mind, it's like, I got to have a good game every time I play. So now I'm working myself to death, working hard, making sure my game is tight. You know, so it do something to you mentally.
If can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. If I could just add something, you know, people also need a fall guy. They need somebody to blame. You understand what I'm saying? You could be great, but you know, as Al just said, as soon as he missed that shot, you're only as great as the last great thing you did.
Right.
You know,
yep.
David, when he went to Ziklag, you know, he hung out with all the guys. They slept together. They talked together. They ate together. They told their finest secrets together. And when they came back to Ziklag and found all the children and women was gone, they had to have a fall guy. So they picked on David. Now, David is saying, listen, I've been with you all this time. We've been gone together. How could I have done this? They have to have a fall guy. And sometimes, no matter how great you are, if you can give me an in to your life, then you'll be a fall guy. Listen, these folks get Grammys and they get Oscars and all types of nominations. As soon as you see a tabloid, you know, as soon as somebody finds an in, you know what I mean? Now you and I can cheat all day. We can have many women, many men all day. Because we are not who they are, you know, you will never know about it. But there has to be a fall guy, you know, and you got to be careful. You know, don't allow yourself to be the fall guy. That's why I tell people all the time, keep your hands clean.
Right. And it, especially if you're walking in any level of life, because, you know, again, that's the magnet. And, you know, it's funny that you brought that up because I wanted to also, because it's a very good point, and I wanted to talk about the other extreme, you know, before we go. Of one of the reasons why R. Kelly excelled to the point where he did with all that has been said was because he lived that dark life. You know, when you're being molested and mistreated and all of this kind of stuff, that takes you down. But when you can tap into something that you can do well, and it's received at the level that it's received, then it takes you to a height that now you're going to be there. You're going to ride. You're going to do whatever you need to do to ride that carpet. You're going to stay there. Your head gets big because that feeds what you have not had an opportunity to get before. You know how it is to be low and how you feel to be, you know, when people treat you like that, when people do these things to you, you know, imagine how people feel. And then now all of a sudden you're getting all these accolades and you're getting all of this, you know, fine treatment and attention. Yeah, you riding that carpet, Brother Al. Come on, you talking about, you know, how you know, people were bigging you up when you know, hit the shot. You know, what was it like to be there?
Oh, man, it was great. You know, I think that's one of the things that people don't understand. The feeling is great. It's like you're on top of the world. It's hard to explain. But it's like you're on top of the world. You know, I just hit this shot. Everybody talk. I couldn't go nowhere without people talking. Oh, yeah, that's Al right there, yo. That dude is good on the court. You got to see him play. And you just feel this feeling like I'm on top of the world. I run the world. Then sometimes you get cocky. And that's what happened with me with the females. I started getting cocky, like, okay, I can have any girl I want. I'm a ball player. This is what I do. I go into the little school parties. I ain't got to pay. Oh, that's Al right there. Yo, don't worry about paying. Come on in. All right, my man. And then now I got people rolling with me who are phony because, okay, Al can get the party free. Al's getting all this attention, and you're riding high. And then when that thing happened, those people not around you no more. Nobody talking about you. Oh, no, they are talking about you, but now it's in a different manner. You know, oh, he can't even make a doggone shot. Come on, man. You're this superstar. You can't make that little shot. And now those people gone. I ain't getting in the party free no more. Oh, that's Al? Nah, that's $5, bro. Yo, you let me in. Nah, that's $5, bro. And it's just like, it can make you go into a depressed state. It really can. So you on cloud nine, and then as soon as something happens, they can pull that cloud from under you and then turn their back on you. And if you're not strong enough, this can drive you to doing drugs. It can just have you do so much things that's out of character because now you, okay, what can I do to get these people back on this bandwagon? So now I get to practice like crazy. I'm going out running miles now. We don't even have to run no more, but I'm still getting up 6 o'clock in the morning running 2-3 miles. I'm going to the court taking 100 jump shots a day because I can't afford to do that no more. I can't lose these people.
Wow. Pastor KL, you know, we got one last opportunity to talk about, you know, this higher than high height. You know, you're going to ride that carpet like Brother Al said. You know, you get cocky. And that's exactly what happened here. You know, he got cocky. You know, you can't be touched. You Mr. Untouchable. It won't be the first time. It won't be the last time it happened. You know, everybody loves you for what you do. Yeah, you remember what that dark place was like. Now you on your come up. You ain't trying to come back down. Are you talking to the mute button?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I was getting deep. I was getting deep too. I'm mad now. But listen, every genius had a dark place. I mean, look at Michael Jackson. As great as he was, we all know his story. You know, from abuse to all type of stuff. You know, Prince had a dark place. As great as he was. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you this, and, you know, Al was actually right when he said when you're on top. I remember when I first started singing and first started preaching in churches and the reaction from the people after I sang or the reaction from the people after I preached. And I never in the beginning said, you know, look what God did. It was always, look what I did. I done turned this church out. Da, 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 da. Where's the next church I'm going to? You know, because you get to a certain point where the people see you, you know, or you think that they see you. you know, and, right. and then you have to come down to reality and know that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, without God, I will be nothing. You know, and the problem with some folks, you know, is that, you know, they don't have God in their life. You know, and when you don't have God in your life, you believe that you perform the miracles. You believe that you are saving folks and you are delivering folks and you are healing folks. When you don't have God in your life, you know, that is the point for you to shine because you've been in darkness for so long. But look at me now is the attitude. Mm-hmm. Look where I am now is the attitude.
Right.
Not, look who brought me to this place now. Look who delivered me out of darkness into the marvelous light. When you don't have God in your life, you make even more stupid decisions, even though it looks good. You understand what I'm saying? So, sometimes a thing can look good but not be good. You know, sometimes, you know, I remember in New York where, you know, the guys used to run out and say, hey, I got this gold, man. You want to buy this gold? And then they'll take a lighter and burn it to make you believe that it's real. And because it was so shiny, that thing looked good, you know, and you had to have it because it looked good, only to find out that you were still dealing with a fake. You know, so sometimes you can look good, but still on the inside, you'll be dealing with a fake. You know, you've got to come out of this thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't be fake all your life. And some folks don't know how to come out. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to tap into God because he's the only one. I don't care how much money these contracts got. You know what I'm saying? After your best song is no longer a best hit, you won't be on the shelf. God will never put you on the shelf. If you work for God, God is going to always have you in the front because he knows that you are his messenger. He's never going to put you on the back burner or on the shelf because he wants you to go out and speak the good news. You've got to tap into God in order to get to the level that you want to be at and the level that he has for you. That's the only way you can stay on the winning table.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen, for sending us into a fantastic weekend. One more again. Thank you so much. And we pray for your input today and your enlightenment into some situations and some circumstances. And we give God thanks for you. And we pray you have a blessed weekend.
Likewise.
Amen. You too. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's squeeze in some little holding hands and holding hearts time. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for a fantastic week. We thank you, God, for the word that was given today. We thank you for the input, the insight, the understanding, the explanation, the words of wisdom, the words of knowledge that's been shared all week here on His Due Time. We thank you, God, for every minister and every ministering word, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that as the word continues to go out, God, that you continue to enable us to be able to speak for you, God. That we pray that you continue to keep us connected to you, God, so we can, you know, be filtered through, dear Heavenly Father, and be used so that people can hear from you, God, through us, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as we minister, God, that we will remain on the ground, that both feet remain on the ground, God, that we will not be elevated above and beyond ourselves, dear Heavenly Father, because it's only you that equips us and enables us to do what we do, God. Only you can put the word and give us the word, dear Heavenly Father, that we give to your people, God. Only you give that strategy and ingenuity, dear Heavenly Father, to be able to say the things we say, you know, to be so elegant, to be able to put these words and phrases together, God, only you, God. And we pray from the opposite side, God, as hearers and listeners to your word, God. Even as we minister, God, we sit on the same side of the table as the listeners, dear Heavenly Father, as we're listening and we're hearing. God, we sometimes have to minister to ourselves in order to get through. That word has to hit us first in order to give us the courage and again, to enable us. And God, the strength that we need comes from you and hearing the words that come from you, hearing the words that's coming from your other ministers, the Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to get it right, that you woke us up each and every day, that you brought us safely through another week. God, we lift Pastor Charlene up before you, the Heavenly Father. We lift up Lady Tamika before you, the Heavenly Father. Both of who are dealing with problems with their sinuses or their throat, God, that can interfere with giving your word, God. So we ask you, God, to just heal their bodies accordingly, your Heavenly Father, so that they can speak your word openly, God, that there will be no hindrances or blockades, your Heavenly Father, and your people can get the word that they call in for, your Heavenly Father. We thank you for just keeping them here, God, and whatever level of healing you've given, we say thank you, your Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us, and you taught us what it is to love, and you taught us what it is to put others before ourselves, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, because you continue to pour into us each and every moment, each and every day, God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the investment one more time, God, that would take us into that next level of when we have to use that faith, when we have to go back into what we heard and we have to recycle some things just to be able to get through, God. You're never too late. You never sleep nor slumber, and you always equip us just in time. Thank you, God, for everything you've done, everything you're doing, and everything you will do. We pray that everyone here would walk away blessed and their lives enhanced. God, we're going to lift up R. Kelly before you, dear Heavenly Father. We're going to ask you, God, to just touch his life, God, at one of the lowest points that he could ever be, God, where they're looking to strip him of everything. And God, we know that you're a restorer. See, this world won't work on restoring us. They're going to work on ripping us apart, God. But we know that you are the great I Am, and you can turn this whole thing around, God. And no matter how much time he has to spend in jail, God, you can turn this all around where there could be some benefit, a major benefit, that he could sing for you, write for you, live for you, speak for you, dear Heavenly Father, that only you know what he's capable of. You know what he went through as a little boy. We talk about this every week, of these children suffering, God, and he was right there. And as bad as it was, God, it could be worse. It could have been worse. So we thank you, God, for even saving what you did. We give you the glory and the honor. So rightly do your name. These are so many things we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Giving God thanks for such a wonderful week and coming through, you know, just the channels and the stages that we come through. Giving God thanks that these stories was not our story. That this fate was not our fate, that we have had some of these stories, but it didn't go that far, that God spared us from some of this experience. And, you know, I always say, I have a tagline. I have a few taglines, and one of my taglines is, God don't give you everything. Oh, anybody who knows me knows I've said that for well over two decades. God don't give you everything. You know, we talk about the fact that, you know, these people write from a deep, dark place. You know, they write up their experiences, you know, or they write, you know, that alone time, you know, is a time when they can tap into some part of themselves that allows them to come up with certain things. And we say, you know, that these are sick minds, you know, that carry out these things and live these lives. And how could he write a song that I could live, I believe I could fly, or, you know, I'm the greatest. And, you know, that has sparked so much courage and elevation and encouragement, but yet he's living such a dark life. God don't give you everything. God don't give you everything. It doesn't all come. There are certain things that we get automatically, and there are certain things that we're going to have to work at. It just, everything ain't there for the taking. Some of the things we're going to have to really tap into God for. And Pastor Kale said, you know, these people just don't know God. And because they don't know God, they don't know how to tap into, you know, these things that help to bring you out, that help to bring you through. And this is why you're elevated one day by man, and then on the flip side of it, when you don't do what they say and you don't look the way they want you to look, and you don't act the way, you know, they want you to act, now you're nothing. You're dog food to them. It doesn't matter to them. They don't like you anymore. They don't love you anymore. They don't have any use for you anymore. But thanks be to God that we know how to tap into a man named Jesus. And thanks be to God that you have something like It's Due Time with Pastor Steph every day. Thank God that you have a word that's issued to you every day that leaves you with a thought, if you allow it to. Because God don't give you everything. I don't care how great any of us sound here on It's Due Time. No matter how great it is we minister, no matter how great it is, we can elegant it is, we can speak, God don't give us everything. There are going to be certain things we have to work at. You know, we always talk about the fact that none of us, not one of us here, ever thought we'd be on a broadcast. And it looks and sounds so natural for us because we talk well, we speak well. All of us have the gift of gab. Every single one of your ministers, or at least the 10 of us here, we have the gift of gab. And God is using that gift to benefit his kingdom. And we don't always get it right. As you have heard, there have been some corrections and there's been some walk-off because we don't always get it right. And we don't know how to always come back and be humble and say I'm sorry and do it all over again. Because God don't give us everything. We're going to have to work at some of this stuff. And the reason why we can't seem to get it together is because we automatically believe that because we got it so easy on this side that, you know, I got it all together. And that's the way the enemy wants you to believe. The enemy wants you to believe that you can do it all. But no, you can't do it all. You got to tap in to Jesus for him to give you the balance of what you don't have. And don't forget that what you already got, he gave that to you too. But he gave that to you a little easier. It's a little easier to tap into that. But there's some other stuff that we're going to go through that the enemy is going to use to suppress those gifts. And the enemy is going to use to twist up your head and confuse you. Not that he gets into your head, but that he's going to use to tear you down. And that's exactly what we've been talking about for well over a month in this R. Kelly case. Such a gifted individual who knows how to tap into everything to make it work, but has an illness because of experiences. So see, we can't get all that cocky and think that it can't be us, because it very well could be you. So this is why I always say we got to take every moment that we got and give God thanks for not who we are, but for who we are not. Thank you, God, for saving me from not being that. That I got 3 kids, and there were times when I wanted to pull my hair out, and there's times where I wanted to just slice everybody's throats, but you kept it together. And we say on here all the time, there's a very stressful thing to deal with children who are ill. But thanks be to God that we don't have to have that experience, because our children may act a little ill, but at the end of the day, they all right. So let's just take this time to give God thanks and for what we have not gone through, for the gifts he's given us, and to lift everybody else up in prayer. And that's why it's so crucial that we get that done each and every day. So make sure that that's your practice when you hang up, okay? Learn from what we do here. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will always serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my men of worship for helping us go into a wonderful weekend. God should spare our life. And I look forward to seeing you again on Monday through this telephone line. Thank you for hanging out with us all week and just being a part of the conversation and supporting us and just helping to push us into the next moment where we can minister one more time. Oh, please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Monday, God spares our life, where we can shake the Monday morning blues together. I love you.